And I've got a studio just chock full of people, including the inimitable Christy Weber from Christy Weber Landscapes, Christy Weber Farm and Garden. And should I just start rattling the things off? And,
yeah.
Because the empire just continues to expand, or at least it seems that way. But also Anna Maria Leon, how would you say it?
Leon.
Okay. Angela Taylor is here. Jessica Zieger.
Hello.
Hi. And all of these good folks are changing history in Millennium Park. You said it yourself in that little piece that you wrote about this, which I have quoted on my website, because it's about, you know, in Millennium Park, you have, we were talking earlier about the fountains and the weird fountain with the face. And I thought the guy who called in was made a really good observation about that. About how, you know, it takes the faces like here, you know, and you don't get the whole image. And to me, it's just a little disturbing, but that's just me. And it looks like people are, you know, are spitting at you. But,
yeah. That's true.
But other
kids love it.
Yeah, I don't know. But normally when you're working in Millennium Park, you're putting in what? Salvia, you're putting in what kinds
one
of stuff?
One is dragon wing.
Okay, now why? Wait. That you're off mic, and I, okay, what are we missing here?
All right,
something's wrong here. Just tap that mic there for. No, that's not even hot. That's not even on. It's not even on.
Sure. All right.
There we go.
All right.
Use that one for now. That three isn't working at all, Denny. I don't know. I just. Seems, and I'm looking at all the buttons here, and we've got it. So, all right.
So anyway, dragon wing begonias, that's the hot new plant that everybody plants everywhere. Every container in the city of Chicago has that in it.
Of course, but they're cool. They're nice. You know, they're fun.
Oh, I'm tired of them.
Oh, we got it now?
I'm good to go.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Denny. What he had, he came and he just bumped it, you know. You just, it's like he hit the TV. Well, you go, all right, that fixes that microphone. Yeah, dragonwing begonia and...
So I don't even know. I mean, that somebody else in my company does that. I don't even know.
You don't even...
I'm not the big plant person. I'm the laborer. Yes.
And you are. I mean, if you know, if you look at the photo, and I put some of those photos up on the website from when I went to visit the other day, you know, you wear the red shirt with everybody else, and there you were digging and pulling weeds and that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Angela and Anna Maria and Jessica all know way more about the plants. I just know they tell me what to do, and I do it. And so they grow them,
all right.
They plant them.
So what are you going to tell her to do now? Okay, just this time around, where did the germ of this idea come from to do permaculture in Millennium Park?
Well, I think, Angela, you and I met. You were growing up in the greenhouse.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of went, Christy, where I was looking for space for the youth during the winter to have some place to grow some stuff. And it just kind of spilled out when you said, why don't we grow and put food in Millennium Park? You could use the greenhouse. And henceforth, Anna Marie came on board and right. Look at a wonderful, beautiful exhibit down there right about now.
Now, was that at the Westtown Academy?
The students from the Westtown Academy that's on Franklin Boulevard at Sacramento, right across the street from Christie's landscape company.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have a greenhouse that we don't use, so we've just, this neighbor space took it over, and Anna and Angela took it over to grow with her kids. And I think that's where it all started, was you were growing up there, and I said, hey, let's, you know, I got this crazy idea. And when did you come in, Anna Maria?
Actually, I think that you and I had a conversation back in Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving of last year.
Oh.
And you were asking about permaculture. And so I think this whole conversation just all came together at the right time. Because mm-hmm. we were talking about what is permaculture and, yeah. So,
Anna,
uh-huh.
What is permaculture?
So permaculture means permanent agriculture or permanent culture. It actually was started by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren in the 1970s in Australia. But the word permaculture was known actually by somebody here in Illinois before it was coined by the Australians, just to get that record straight. I don't know the name, but I read it in a book somewhere, but I don't know the name. So what it is that they've taken the best, the agricultural practices from all over the world, and whatever works is it's a system of design of garden. So it could encompass agroecology, agroforestry, earthworks. It's a systems way of designing. And it doesn't only encompass gardens. It also encompasses education, spiritual traditions, companies, the way companies design their, the way they interface with their internal people.
All right. It's a systems way of designing for the average gardener who's listening. And by the way, anybody got any questions about permaculture or, you know, stuff going on in your garden this year, 773-763-9278. I mean, we've got four people in the studio, four and a half if you count me, who actually know some stuff. And we'll just answer questions, but we'd be happy to talk to you about what's going on in Millennium Park. But getting back to permaculture, so somebody's got a garden in the city or in the suburbs here. Let's take it from the opposite point of view. What are they doing in their garden that is not along the principles of permaculture?
Well, the focus on permaculture is to have perennial plantings, perennial polyculture, and multiple uses. So a lot of times in our gardens, it's a lot of annuals, especially in like our community gardens. It's very focused on production. So production is a lot of annual-based plants, lots of lettuce, lots of kale, lots of collards, lots of corn. And in permaculture, you would add fruit trees. And under the fruit trees, you'd have permanent herbs like what we have in Millennium Park, like Agastache funiculum, Anise hyssop, or calendula, or garlic chives. So those are things that would come back every year.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it makes your gardening experience less work, and you have less input to put in. You also don't haul out all of your organic matter. When we prune, it's called chop and drop. So exactly where you chop back your leaves, you leave it there. Your branches, it stays there.
Yeah, but in all fairness, at Millennium Park, we do have to drop and tape.
You know, and that's the point I was going to make.
So there are some things and principles in the air, you know, I mean.
Yes.
So, you know, for example,
because you have rules at Millennium Park, right. So it's not going to be the same kind of.
Well, we already bent them. We bent the rules just by doing this. We planted some of the stuff down there that came from Angela and her kids in Dixie cups.
Yes.
It was seated in a Dixie cup. So when we show up, generally in the past, we'd show up with these gigantic racks of professionally grown annuals that, you know, all come in perfect little 4-inch pots, all the same size, everything fertilized and massive and ready to go. And then we came down there with all of Angela's little Dixie cups and little pods that had grown and threw them in the ground, and people were not happy, but people didn't, it was very ethical in my, but untraditional way of doing it, you know, we didn't do this mass planting like we always do for everything. This was a very, Anna Maria ran the show, so in my opinion, it went slower, it had to be done her way.
Well, yeah, that's a really important point. With landscapers, time is of the essence, and you want somebody who can grab a flat of plants and have it in the ground in 10 minutes, you know, that kind of thing, and then move on to the next one, and bam, 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 bam. So this, I assume, there was a little more TLC applied to the plantings.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Because those, all of the plants that me and the students grew, it took us a great wealth of time and energy and effort, and there was a lot of sharing of knowledge with the students, which gave them a great focus and helped them to grow. So I kind of felt like I was not just growing flowers and vegetables, but I was growing young people mm-hmm. into this culture of growing as well. And it was a magnificent experience because they were able to go down to Millennium Park and look at the space where the things that they were growing was going to be placed. And they got excited and they were like, we have to go back and grow more. This is a lot of space down here and we have to have
well, we had
so
to grow
much.
A lot more because yeah. all the boxwoods, not all of them, but most of about quarter of the boxwoods around in the main beds died. So I went down with some friends of Angela, very unconventional again, and
right.
in a loader. I took three West Side folks, and we just ripped out all the boxwoods in 2 days. So we ripped out 2,200 boxwoods that were, you know, just shot from the winter, and that.
Well, we've talked about that on the show. It's just the boxwoods.
Well, I was good. Good, they're gone.
They're gone.
Next.
But these were the ones, these were in Millennium Park, and they were in the traditional beds there that they have. And, you've got two main areas where you do this.
Yep, north and south. Michigan, Madison Avenue, it just follows straight up Madison.
Right.
Straight east.
I got a photo, I think we did a photo of that on the website.
Yep, and then another one on Washington, so...
I think that
that was cool for the kids, though, to know that their stuff they were growing wasn't just going, you know, to Miss Jones, you know, neighbor space garden, but
right.
it was going, you know,
some
down
place
to Millennium
to be
Park.
Seen by lots of people, and I think for them that was the big energy and the charge because I had rotations of kids over the 12 weeks that I worked growing the plants and everything, and when the first 5 weeks rolled out, they went back to school to say, you really want to go to this program because this is what's going on in this program. So the kids that pretty much came in to work on the plants knew what to expect and were excited about doing it. You
know? They wanted to keep coming back.
They wanted to keep coming back, yeah. you know,
that's,
which was
that's
exciting.
That's the way
too.
To get them to keep coming back.
It was a crappy winter, so it was really nice to be up in that. I mean, just a bad winter. It was just nice to see green and see. We were so... It was something, wasn't it? I mean, we went down to Millennium Park to do some sort of interview with Channel 7, and we all hugged. We had a group hug and cried because this was such a labor of love and just tears, and we took a lot of crap for doing this. And
all right, from whom? Well, it seems to me
from
what
the powers that be from the city and from just, it was just, you know, it was, I did not want to tell anyone what I was doing. So I waited till the
because
last...
Because you were... You thought they'd say...
No.
You can't do that. Well, first of all, the committee of no would just say, no.
No.
Don't do it.
No. No.
And that
right.
was basically it.
Because we've always submitted drawings by February that showed exactly what annuals we're going to plant. And we, you know, get that approval. We have to go through this approval process. And I just... These guys started growing. There was nothing anybody could do. I mean, I was willing to put the money out and buy the annuals if it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
I knew
Thank
that.
God it worked.
Thank God it worked.
And it worked really great.
Well, all right.
Gorgeous. It's unbelievable.
So now this is the prelude, but folks listening who haven't been down there, haven't seen it, don't even know what you're talking about when you say it worked, and Dixie cups... And students and tender...
The calendula. It had to be this big.
All right.
It was like an inch big.
So the calendulas were planted from seed in Dixie cups that the kids
yes.
did, basically.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you should see those calendulas now.
They're unbelievable.
They are rocking.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are really cool. But that's not even the most interesting part of what's going on there. I mean, you know, folks are there's corn. Growing there?
That seemed to catch everybody's attention.
Yeah.
No, folks are shopping. I witnessed it. She drove by and with her baby in the cart, and she looked like, is this actually sage? And she went and she rubbed it, and she smelled it, and it was sage. So she reached down and got her a little handful and shook the dirt off and put it under the bottom of the stroller.
That's the biggest problem.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angie was like, what does she think? This is Jules? You know, that's the biggest problem we're having is people are pulling things out. We'd like to just lay scissors around so that they... I don't really care if they eat it, you know?
Well, I'm encouraged if they eat it because then it's actually having this full cycle of life, you know, going from seed to the mouth, and that's what growing food is about, you know? So
love the idea, from seed to mouth.
Yeah, you know, that's really what it's about, so...
So let's talk about the plant palette that you have there in Millennium Park? I mean, we've mentioned sage, we've got tomatoes, we've got corn, there's chard, there's asparagus. Yeah. What's nice about asparagus is when the asparagus is done, the foliage is wonderful. It's very lacy, and it's a lovely backdrop for other things.
And one of your favorites, too, right?
Because of...
pitch the book. Pitch the book.
Yes. Oh, there we is. Oh, you mean...
Attack of the killer asparagus.
Okay, there we go. And any and everybody's welcome to get a copy of it.
We're so happy for you. Congratulations. Well, I mean, they have a book. And
it's and we got to do a signing at your place.
Yeah,
at
the Farm and Garden.
Absolutely. So what's on the plant palette there at the Millennium Park?
Let me just say one thing about the boxwoods. It was the universe scent. The fact that we didn't have the boxwoods anymore, because I was going to go inside the yews, this whole exhibit, so we would have never, ever seen what was being planted. So the fact that the boxwoods came out and we were able to plant all the plants outside of the yews, it became very interactive and very educational for people. And when we first put in the plants, people were naysayers. They were like, what is that? You know, they look like weeds. How is that going to grow? How is that going to fill in? And so this was actually permaculture inspired, but its focus was on edible landscaping, because we are putting together an edible landscaping division over at Christy Weber Landscapes. So the palette, when we first talked about what we were going to plant, we had to think about succession planting. You know, what was going to come up in spring, what was going to come up in summer, how are we going to move it into fall? And then we talked about texture and color. Christy picked out the palette for the Cleome, which is the fourth sister of the Three Sisters Guild. And
she's
She's going to put that in.
Angela and I were like, what the heck? Okay.
All right. Yeah. You can't just say that and move on.
It's a teaser. All right. So the way the Native Americans planted was they had the corn. And that's why we have two types of corn, Oaxacan green dent and Japonica striped maize. And then they would plant the runner bean that would go up the corn. But we nixed the runner bean because Christy said that's just going to look like a weed. So no runner bean. And then they would also plant a squash.
There's a few in there, though. I've seen them.
Yeah. Runner beans?
Volunteers.
Yeah.
We did not plant them. They came up on their own. And then they would plant the squash that would give shelter to the raíces. How do you say raíces?
Roots.
Thank you. To the roots of the corn. And then they would plant the cleome, which would be a pest deterrent for the squash borer. So we couldn't...
Because the squash borer is attracted to the cleome.
To the cleome. Yeah.
And so it's...
Then it would stay away from the squash.
It's a sacrifice plant.
Yes. Yeah. So it became the fourth sister of the Three Sisters Guild. Uh-huh. And so we couldn't plant the squash because we said it would take over everything. So that's how we went through what we were going to plant. And then we took a look at what could be perennial, because permaculture is about perennial plants. So then we took
And that's part of the problem here, because you got a permaculture exhibit in a place that really does not encourage that kind of thing.
Yes, so it was a beautiful hybrid that happened here. And Christy told me you cannot have a regular permaculture bed here because it is in a public space. So we worked really hard together along with Randall Taylor, the lead designer right. on the project as well. And he took the ideas that we had and put it onto CAD. And that for me was a huge learning experience. Cause
we had to put it on CAD because all of a sudden I had told one person from the city who called another person. And the next thing you know is that they were demanding elevations and, you know, renderings and, you know, literally 10 days out. So.
And we changed
literally
it.
And then we had to change it all.
Over and over and over.
I mean,
at least
even
five
though
iterations.
I felt like they didn't even know what they were looking at, but it didn't matter. At least they had it in their hand. I was going to do whatever it took to make it live and to do. I mean, I have Anna Maria and Jessica are down there like 3 days a week, just deadheading, making this so that it works.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't work, it was just going. It was going to hurt the whole effort. You know, all three of us are sitting here because we love food. We want to see people growing food. We want to see less annuals, more food in our city, and not just in the impoverished areas where there are vacant lots, but everywhere, so that it's an effort across the city, not just on the west side or the south side, but downtown too. You know, my kids don't even know where food comes from. So, you know, and I live in Wicker Park. They think it all comes from Whole Foods. So
they used to think it came from the Jewel until we had Whole Foods.
Yeah,
so.
Right. But you get what I'm saying. So, she, you know, Anna Maria was, you know, took everything. It had to be pretty. It had to be flowering. It had to, and then to work with Anna, just talk about the three sisters. We're
yeah.
the three
yeah.
sisters.
And Jessica became yeah. the fourth sister.
Yeah. Sister.
Not sacrificial at all.
Got a Hispanic, a lesbian, and a black lady.
So, and an Asian.
And then one white lady. Actually, Anna Maria is Asian. But Hispanic, too, or just,
yes,
right.
Yeah, I was
We're
trying
covered.
To figure what your background is.
Oh, this is going to be a shout-out to my grandmother. I'm Filipina, and I'm also from my mother's side and Spanish on my father's side with some Chinese blood. And Igorot, I'm tribal.
Wow, you got a lot going on.
I
there.
Do.
You're
I'm
tribal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not
We're
sure
all tribal
from which somewhere. Tribe. West side.
West side tribe. Right.
West side tribe.
So let's go back to the plants for a second. We also have two types of cherry tomatoes, Sweet 100s and Sun Gold, which were also grown by the students.
They're so big and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta be so proud.
Oh yes, I'm
they
very proud.
Be so proud.
I'm very.
And right
proud.
Now, those some of those tomatoes are ripening. We picked a couple.
Yes.
And okay, that's a question too, because you know that folks are going to come and they're going to pick tomatoes, and that's okay with you, I assume.
That's okay.
That's part of the deal, right? I mean, they're taking sage,
yes.
You know.
Sage, thyme.
Yeah.
What's that?
Swiss
cilantro,
chard.
Swiss chard. We have a regular
They're pulling out the third
person.
Sister, too, the cleome. But the wonderful thing about the third sister is she's prickly. So they don't get it all out. But they kill it. You know, I don't know. We need to be down there more just to educate people.
Well, all right,
just
so
give
people,
it away.
People are ripping out those, the
cleome.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
That's just
They're
what,
very
well,
pretty.
They're so pretty.
Yeah.
They want them. You know, they look like a big spider.
I know. They're called spider flower.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
there
that.
Yeah. It is called spider flower.
Oh, you said that. I've heard you say that before.
Yeah.
We also have a pear tree that has six types of pears that have been grafted onto it, and columnar apples. And the reason why we put that in there is we wanted people to see that in a small urban plot, like their backyard, they could still have fruit trees. So a columnar apple only gets 3 feet wide and 8 feet tall at its max. And you can have six varieties of pears on one tree that grows horizontally, you know. So
you can put it right up against your garage in a sunny area.
Mm-hmm.
Done. You know,
calendula
Boom
is an
done.
Edible flower that comes back every year. It's self-seeding. We have nasturtiums and marigolds. Mm-hmm. We have lemongrass. The nasturtiums and marigolds were also planted by the students. They did the Swiss chard.
So
did they actually come down and plant the stuff there too?
Well,
or
no, they didn't actually get to come down.
All right, so they put it in the Dixie cups.
Yeah, they took it from the seed.
I have to know. Carol, have we gotten that photo up there, or are you stuck without a computer? What's the story there?
I took some pictures of the
You may talk
greenhouse.
To me. It's okay. It's okay to communicate on the radio since it is
We're
radio.
We're working on it.
Oh, okay. I'd love to get that photo up there on Facebook of these beautiful women here in the studio. And those beautiful women are Angela Taylor and Jessica Zeger and Anna Maria Leon and Christy Weber. See, I'm teachable. Okay, I am teachable. And they're all here to talk about the permaculture planting in Millennium Park and more. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number if you want to call and ask a question about gardening, permaculture, Millennium Park, Christy Weber, her trucks. the trucks that you're doing much better with this year. I follow you on Facebook. What I love about you, Christy, is
all out there.
It's all out there. You never
it's
hold
all out
back.
There,
I mean,
yep.
you had some issues last year with
sure
some
did.
Guy who was ripping off the company.
Yeah, big time.
Wow.
We figure over $100,000 and still counting. So, yep.
Yeah, I saw that. And and the auto guy. Who says you don't love us anymore? You're not buying stuff like you did, like you used to. Well, it was
a tire guy. He called me up and said, "Hey, what's going on? Are you? Did you find another vendor? Don't you love us anymore?" And I said, "No, this is exactly how many tires I should have been buying.
not $169,000 worth of tires.
Jeez.
It's sad I even have to buy any tires this year.
It's unbelievable. And
it's always something, Mike. It's always something. You have to, we one step ahead all the time. I mean, if it's not gas, it's tires, it's, you know, whatever. Side jobs, people doing side jobs.
It's a, well, you know, within, and it's, you know. It, you know, and here you are working in the city, and you always say you're proud of that, and you should be. You've stuck to your guns, and you end up doing things like Millennium Park, but also being part of the 606 or Bloomingdale Trail, whichever they're calling it these days.
Well, it just went out to bid, so we just submitted our numbers.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. We'll see.
And because it's in my neighborhood, and every time you turn around, there's another street blocked while they're doing construction on that. In fact, I haven't had I want to get some folks on the show to talk about that because it's really, really cool. And, you know, it's an excuse for me to get up there and see what they're doing. That's what I, that, you know.
Yeah, you should get Beth White on because she's the one that's really in front of that. So.
All right.
Yeah. So
I will work on that.
Yeah.
That's Christy Weber of Christy Weber Landscapes and Farm and Garden. And off air, you said a couple of things that, again, you know, you shoot from the hip. And I appreciate that because it's always good radio. But one of the things you said about this permaculture exhibit you did, it's most landscape companies wouldn't touch it. And that they're doing a lot of the same old, same old. And I know that, too, because I started the Midwest Ecological Landscape Alliance and partly
Mila.
Mm-hmm. Partly because I was and other people I knew were sick of the same old, same old. Same old plant palette, same old techniques, same old chemicals, same old, you know.
Same.
And some of my friends in the business give me heat for, you know, saying that, but it's true. There's a lot of stuff that hasn't changed, and the green industry could be a lot greener than it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was one guy that was the executive director, and he used to say, well, we're green. We plant trees. We're about the less green out there, the equipment we use. You know, thank God I have a green building, you know, so that at least that's the one part of my life that isn't, you know, producing, emitting, what is it?
Greenhouse
yes.
Gases.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, but otherwise I just, you know, I'm trying to do different things. I'm trying to open it up and try to get our industry to think differently, but they are so just... It's quite a group.
Well, and you talk about planting trees, and they, you know, pat themselves on the back for planting trees. And what are they planting? Calorie pear, okay, which has already been shown to be invasive. And you know,
yes.
Yeah, the results are in, folks, okay?
Yeah.
Your Bradford pear is an invasive plant, and yet people love it because those old white flowers, the problem is then they start popping up all over the place, you know?
Right.
I mean, I went to a conference about this last year at the Chicago Botanic Garden, and basically, you know, look at this, and, you know, things like... The plant palette, the burning bushes, and the butterfly bush. Sorry, I know.
Grasses. There's a lot of grasses. I don't know why we're not in front of it, you know? That's the sad thing about our industry is that we just kind of wait for people to tell us what to do. We don't set the standards. We don't really, you know, some do. I don't want to say everybody. I don't want to. It's not everybody, but I just wish that we would be a little more innovative and think outside of the box and, you know, like work with folks like I'm sitting in the room and do, you know, to take this risk and do Millennium Park is huge. I just can't even to rip out boxes.
Yeah, I don't think that people understand. Well, first of all, Anna Maria, you mentioned earlier that there was some sort of fate involved because coming out of the harshest winter in decades, half of those boxwoods were dead anyway, and it was just as if the fate said, okay.
We counted them, 475 at $100, right, to replace at that size. 475. So, you know, I charged the taxpayers $3,000 with my friends, because I just took my friends out there, Angela's friends, and we ripped out all those boxwoods for $3,000. I actually paid for a lot of this stuff to go into this garden because I really wanted to push it. And it was fate. I mean, it was totally fate.
Because if you had those boxwoods there, half of the stuff you planted wouldn't have been seen. It would have been a lot harder to get in there. You wouldn't have had room
We would have ripped some stuff up, believe me.
I know you would have.
There's a lot of people that are so grateful, but there was, you know, I'm a donor. There was a lady that came through several times. I'm a donor. You're taking out my boxwoods. And I'm just thinking, this is a public park, lady. And you know what? I know you're a donor. So am I. I lost $450,000 on building this park. You don't see my name up on the wall. You know, I mean, honestly, I took a beating building that park. So, beating. And I'll say it again, beating. And so I should have my name up on the park. But I love that park. I want that park to be a showcase. And I think we did. I mean,
if it hasn't been, it truly, truly is now, because there's truly something to see, because it's truly alive. It's
right.
Got edibles in it.
That's
there.
A great alive. Way to say it, Angela.
Yeah, you know, really a boxwood and a yew, they're not alive. There's nothing going on there. I mean, they are technically, but spiritually, no. Zero.
We
okay?
look at the yew hedge now, like Pete Udoff did that shoulder hedge.
Yeah.
To the Leary Garden, so we can't wait for Pete to come out. Roy Diblick loves it.
Pete,
everybody loves it.
Your permaculture display, yeah.
Pete saw it too, and he really liked it too.
Pete Udolph designed the Leary Garden,
right.
And just to remind people, and today, this year was the 10th anniversary of the Leary Garden being planted. And Roy, of course, up at Northwind Perennial Farm is the nicest man on the planet.
He's the same thing. He's doing perennials with the same thought process that the permaculturists are doing with food
mm-hmm.
and flowers. You know, I mean, this is so, for me, what this means is we're trying to teach people that they mix and that they're beautiful and that you can do that. And then teach people that you can eat from your garden. It's not dirty. Just brush it off and eat. You know, pick.
Well, yeah,
pick.
Yeah.
You pick. I'd love to see you pick gardens around the city. Wouldn't that be fun, Angela?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'd have a few you pick. People come out to the west side like they're going on some adventure.
Right.
Instead of going to Michigan,
right.
Let's just have a you pick farm out on the west side.
Recycle bags.
And then another one on the south side. And we can put them all in the van, you know? And we'll have a guy with a shotgun or something, because they will never feel protected. You know, nobody wants to go south of, like, Roosevelt or west of Western. And it's great neighborhoods.
It's great neighborhoods.
Oh, they're hidden. They're very well hidden, and nicely so.
We kind of like it.
I live west of Western. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Which means that I'm not going to get a cab. Okay.
That's the truth. You might because you're white.
Whoa! And that's the truth, too. But even if you're white, you don't get them if they're not there. You know, that's part of what happens.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
sorry.
That's great. That's great. Great stuff. I mean, as I say, Christy Weber's always good radio.
Oh, yeah.
And Anna Maria, during the break, we were talking a little bit more about permaculture. I wanted to mention that Kathleen wrote in, and she thought that Vicky Nowicki might have had something to do with the coining. I don't think so. I think it was coined someplace else, but this is a shout-out to people like her, Vicky and Ron Nowicki, out in, now I'm going to blank on where they live. Downers Grove. Downers Grove.
Yep.
And
they've been around too.
They've been doing permaculture for 35 years before anybody knew what it was.
Well, tell
and there are
claim
other people.
This. They can claim this. I don't. Nancy Clem can claim this.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
care.
Nancy
Everybody
Clem
has
is doing...
been a part of this. We're all part of it. We're all yeah. together yeah. in this.
Yes.
We all work together. We all know each other.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is permaculturist?
You know, Daniela Pereira from Openlands, from their head forester.
They park out by my site.
And
they're great. I love them. So we're kind of all hanging around in the same neighborhoods.
Jamie Zaplatosh is
yeah,
also.
We
yeah,
we were with her.
Yeah. And talked to her many times.
Matthew Stevens, he's building a food forest, actually, out at Hales Franciscan High School. Do you know that? So the difference between like a food forest, he set me very straight on this, is that a forest, I think, according to permaculture or maybe the definition of a forest, you have to have at least 200 trees. And then the canopy has to be like 70% canopy. I may be wrong on that. But so he says what I do in people's backyards or what we're doing in Millennium Park is an example of forest gardening where you have seven layers. whereas a food forest is an actual forest based on, mostly based on fruit trees.
Mm-hmm. You talk to any good designer, seven layers, layering is, you know, I remember just the craziest thing. The commissioner of the Department of Aviation, Rosie Andolino, came and said, I love it out here, but we need layers. So it all came, see? Mm-hmm. Even just like you're a normal person, she didn't really know, but layers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Layers in our garden, in our permaculture, layers in a food forest. I mean, you know, so most of these landscape architects, they should really hang out with us, right? To learn about real layering.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, farmers and just, yeah.
Okay, now slide that microphone over because Jessica is here, too. I'm putting you on the spot. You're interning out there. This has to be one of the greatest intern jobs ever.
It's been fantastic. It's been so exciting.
What did they have you doing?
Well, Anna Marie and I are maintaining the gardens. You know, we did help put in some of the plants, and now we're maintaining, pruning, weeding, harvesting weekly now, which has been so fun. And we're donating a lot of the food. So
yeah, where's the food going?
We've been donating to Inspiration Kitchens, but also people who are in the park, you know, they ask for food and we give it to them.
That makes perfect sense. It's somebody who's in need and they happen to be in Millennium Park. Yeah, give them a tomato, you know, or whatever else they might need.
They have regulars. They have regular people
have
that
regulars.
Show up.
We have customers.
They know their
yes.
time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like Jessica and Anna Maria are, they have like a, you know, a store hours. And so these people show up when they're there. And we put them on Fridays now, so that's probably even better.
I lost my train of thought here. This is one of those.
She's at school. That's what I think. Maybe you wanted to ask her is where she's going to school. And
that is what? Well, no, but that'll work.
That's fine. I'm with the Windy City Harvest Program this year, so that's an urban agriculture training program
through Chicago Botanic
Gardens. Chicago Botanic Gardens in partnership with the city colleges. So that's a 9-month program. We have 3 months of classroom and hands-on work, and then we have 3 months of internship. And this is the first year that Christy Weber has offered an internship, so it's been amazing.
I remember what I wanted to ask, and that is the reaction of people who come to see this garden. I mean, I was there for a couple of hours the other day, and people stop, and they comment, and then when you show them what's going on, they're even more interested. They get really excited, and they think it's the coolest thing ever.
I think it's a learning process, too, because like we were saying that kids and people think that produce just produces itself on the shelves in the Whole Foods, the Trader Joe's, and the Jewels. But to actually see how it's actually grown and where it truly does come from, that's amazing. It's an amazing experience to see a person saying, wow, tomatoes actually grow on a vine and not off of a shelf. For me, that's one of the biggest pieces for me that engages me to that education, to see that connection people make to where it really comes from.
And even more, the idea of some of the vegetables that they don't use regularly, like a Swiss chard, the idea that it's so pretty and you can eat that also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But getting back, Angela, to what you said about where a tomato comes from, at a certain point, you know, I've been doing this for so long, I can't even imagine what that's like. But there are people, folks, and some of them adults, who really don't have
It's colorblind. Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. It just depends on whether anybody has tasted anything. So, you know, but it's all colorblind, the fact that food comes from the Mother Earth, you know. People do not. It doesn't matter where you're from. They just don't know it.
What are the difficulties? I know that your plants look really, really healthy out there in the garden. And
they're organic, too.
It's all organic. So you're not using any chemicals on this.
No. The only residue would be the salt that we put down there, you know. But we pretty much
From the winter.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's now, do you salt that area, or
we
the city
sure do.
Does?
Yeah, we'll try to salt it even deeper next time so that we can get rid of those ewes.
I'll tell them, open it up! No, I won't be able to. I won't don't be the snow contractor down there. I would never do that, but it's a good laugh. Right?
I don't know.
We didn't mean to kill the Boxwoods, and thank God they died all up and down Lakeshore Drive. Thank God it wasn't just the park.
That's right.
They were everywhere dead. That's all you talked about for weeks on this show.
I know. So was the dead Boxwoods.
14 years ago we lost them all, and it was because they were the Koreans. We all put in these little mountain velvets or in all that little fancy variety with the small leaves, and they still died. So, you know, anyway, back to the yews, right?
Well, and yews are supposed to be indestructible, and some of them will grow back, but they're also about as boring as you can get.
I don't know. I think they're making a comeback. We're going to use them. Yeah, we're taking ours and we're clipping them and making them to look like the Frank Gehry wig. I call it the wig. And and so I got the guys.
You're talking about the band orchestra shell.
Yes,
there.
Right.
The wig.
The wig. I call it the wig. And we've got, you know, we're trying to, you
make
know,
it wavy.
Make it wavy like that.
Give it some life.
Give it some life so it's just not this dead old green hedge.
I think going back to your question about reactions, we had just phenomenal reaction, really. And the gateway plant to finding out what's going on in there is the cherry tomatoes. That's the first thing. It's either the cherry tomatoes or the corn. That's what people recognize first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come into the park and they're like smelling something. What is that smell? So it's the basil and all of the other things that we planted in there. But once people recognize one plant, it just kind of cascades into, well, what is this and what is this and how do you use that? How do you use the amaranth that's in there and how come you have three varieties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have Love Lies Bleeding, Emerald Tassels, Opopeo, Amaranth. And then we get into the conversation about it's in the Chenopodaceae family, which is spinach, and you can eat the leaves. And they're like, what? And look at
this. Of the amaranth.
Of the amaranth.
Yeah, and the grain as well.
Yes, the tassels.
The tassels.
You can eat that. They self-seed. So it just keeps building and building into this one, this conversation that's very educational. And then you can start to have them taste it and touch it and smell it. And it became very interactive. And we had one lady came up to me and she said, you know, every year I've just always passed by this gallery, like just keep walking. But this year I stopped and I looked and I said, there's something going on here. And so she saw it from the very beginning till now. And she was amazed, you know, to see something grow and develop. That's something new. Like what Angela was saying, it's something that's alive. And I feel like this display is something very alive.
I think we could do it down Michigan Avenue. I think we can do it at Soldier Field, at all the big flower displays. We can just add a little food, little something, and maybe give it back to, you know, the food depository. I know Heartland's growing for them out on the west side by the fire station.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of, there's places and people that could use fresh food. And, you know, I just feel like the city pays a lot of money to maintain all these big floral beds.
They're going to get maintained anyway.
They're going to get maintained anyways.
Right.
So as long as they're beautiful for, you know, pictures or a wedding or whatever, well, then let's go for it. I just feel like let's try. So we did Millennium. It's successful. It's still successful. We're talking about it. We're allowed to talk about it now. We're allowed to talk about it.
I think that's the funniest part. It's like it's like the Manhattan Project or something before you did this. Because we'll have to kill you if you mention that we're planting food.
It's how we go.
We
laugh, but
and now you get to talk about it because it worked. Oh, my God, it worked.
Yeah.
It's just too funny. That is too funny.
Yeah, now it just seems very natural, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now
well, and now the expectation is it will work again next year, and I'm hoping you're getting a good response, not just from the people in the park, but from the powers that be to do it again.
Well, it's been tough because, you know, we have to let them take ownership of it. So they thought of it. It's
hope
all
they're
theirs.
Not listening to this show. Okay.
I want them to. I hope they are listening because, you know, I'm very grateful and honored to be working for the city. And I think all of us are really proud that we were able to do this at Millennium Park. And, you know, we don't own that park. That's the People's Park. And I just feel like the city should be proud of what they have down there and should want to do this across the city, you know, not just
let it grow.
Let it grow and just be proud of it. And I don't care if, you know, the aldermen want to take credit for it or the mayor or, you know, the guy that, you know, that is head of the Millennium Park. It got done. We're proud of it, and hopefully they are, and we'll move forward. So I think Anna Maria has plans for next year already, but we'll have to let the city know.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. Okay, let me do this, and then we'll wrap up with our great panel here, Christy Weber, Anna Maria Leon, Angela Taylor, Jessica Zeger, talking permaculture with Angela Taylor and Christy Weber and Anna Maria Leon and Jessica Zeger. And I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to get a shout out to. Oh, and I was going to mention on Twitter, Sarah Batka, who is a team member here of the Mike Novak Show. She says, tweeted, listening on the way to Soil Sisters Farm Tour. Shout out to your sister guests. So that's cool.
It's a theme.
It's a theme. And she's talking about it's in Wisconsin. The Soil Sisters are doing a farm tour today, I guess.
Cool.
Sunday. It's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can go to soilsisterswi.org. Soilsisterswi.org. As in Wisconsin. So, Angela, what is it you're working on?
Well, actually, I'm working right now because I am a community gardener, and I have a garden in Garfield Park community where we have 37 raised beds and a greenhouse, a 24 by 30 greenhouse, some chickens and bees. But I also serve as the Garfield Park Community Garden Coordinator, where I work with the 30 resident-led gardens in the community with the help of Christy Weber to seek out resources and things that the gardens need to ensure that they're maintained. And our big project that we're doing in our second year is that we host a neighborhood market, which is a downscale farmers market where several other community gardens vend their produce to the community. As I often say, we're living in a food desert in Garfield Park, and to bring fresh, local produce out to the community every month on the second Saturday at Lake Nkedzi, and we have a great time. It's a family-friendly event that's on the second Saturday every month, and music, entertainment, and there are other vendors that's opposite the fresh produce that we bring.
Fabulous. Great stuff.
It's great. It's great fun. I'm going to take a pass because I'm mowing the grass and weeding and, you know, I'm trying to make the money to support all these things. That's my goal, is to keep this company strong so that I can go out and be a farmer.
And, of course, I have to let people know that they can go to the farm and garden. On 2200 West Grand Avenue.
Doing well. We're having a great
year. And it always
year.
Looks beautiful when I Thank go by it. It just looks fabulous.
Hats off to Marina.
And Renee. And Emma. And
all the people over there. We have a great staff over at the Farm and Garden. This will be the first year in 5 years that we might make some money.
I got a quick tweet for Anna here before we wrap up. Jared wants to know about service berries and pawpaws. Anything like that in the future? Is that possible?
In Millennium Park or? In Millennium Park, I don't think so.
Well, actually, their place in permaculture, though.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Service berries are awesome. Pawpaws are also great. You should contact Connor Shaw of Possibility Place. They have excellent.
Love them. Great people.
They're excellent purveyors of that.
Yeah.
And Christy Weber's Farm and Garden will be carrying them next year.
Yeah. You're going to start carrying his plants at our store.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And also, Inuwag. Is going to be International Urban Egg is going to have a soiree at the Farm and Garden on September 4th.
INUAG is the International Network for Urban Agriculture. It's a website that tries to bring agriculture. This is a not-for-profit that a group of us put together because it just felt like everybody was reinventing the wheel to be able to do urban farms. And so we created this website. It's a website. I like to say it's the Angie List for gardening. But
give the website
other
again.
Other people do not like that. What is the?
Inuag.org. Inuag.org.
Inuag.org.
Wow, so. I'm the vice president. I can't remember that.
I
can't even remember my phone number.
You have 30 seconds.
I want to put in a plug for the Bionutrient Food Association. We're going to be having a conference on soil or a workshop on soil November 1st at Garfield Park Conservatory.
Cool. So.
Did you do any talking at the garden show?
I did. I did a talk yesterday on fruit orchards.
Fabulous.
In permaculture.
Well, Christy, Anna Maria, Angela, Jessica, thank you so much for being here. Now, there's a tradition on this show. At the end, I say, go green, and the other people say, go home. That's how that works. So I say, are you guys ready for it? Everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Go green or?
Go home.
Ouch.